Good evening, and thank you all so much for being here tonight. I'm here, I'm running for County Commission District 2, and I'm so excited at the opportunity to get to work for all of you in the coming years if I'm successful in Alexander Road. I worked 21 years at Channel 2, and again, a unique opportunity to meet so many people across Oklahoma as well as all throughout Tulsa County. And I think it gave me a unique opportunity to learn about this region, and I made it so glad to learn here. I also spent 4 years working with Mayor Bill Forsen. I was the lone Democrat in his Republican office, and I learned to work across party lines, which I think is very, very important. And I'm very, very proud of working on Vision 2025. It was a grassroots initiative for a year and a half, and we literally went throughout the town meeting with leadership. I was part of that process, and the end result are some wonderful things. You have an incredible new arena. So proud of what it is doing for our downtown. Some of you probably remember the naysayers. Oh, we won't have those suites out. My goodness, we can get remakes of the Beatles. Okay, Celine Dion is on her way. Those suites sold out in a heartbeat. We have a waiting list for those. So I'm really, really proud how that works out. We have community centers sprinkled throughout the county. We have some funds that will go to engineering on the dam as we move forward on that project. So some amazing things are happening in Tulsa County. I have a couple of goals for the county. The first is greater transparency for county government, and that should lead to improved accountability. I've already worked out with the county commissioners, pending the approval of my fellow commissioners, we can actually put the county commission meetings on TIGA, and it won't cost the county very much in order to get that set up. So that would actually be a wonderful thing to kind of open up and let county government be more accessible to the people. Second is greater efficiency, streamlining services, and combining resources between government, and finally, cooperation, building partnerships, getting things done. I'll be just very willing to work across party lines and hopefully get a lot of these done for the county. We also need to invest in our Juvenile Justice Center. I think Sally agrees with me on that, and I would like to see foundation funding for that initiative. And people say, oh my gosh, it's a foundation, we got it. You know, they're going to take control of it. I seriously doubt the rental group has ever come in and said there's a rental center. We're going to tell you what folks to hire. So the foundation is an incredible way to do this, especially for people who don't want to see increased taxes or improvements that we need. So those are some of my ideas. I will tell you more later. Thank you all so much for being here.
There are a lot of things and a lot of issues that we need to talk about. But for me, the number candidates.
We've got several questions that should probably go to both candidates. We have a microphone on the political table. We're going to pass it back and forth. A question that's come up at least four times that I count is about the South Tulsa Bridge. And one of the questions, addresses the question this way, that the South Tulsa toll bridge becomes an issue again. What is your position on placement? Who builds it? Who receives the revenue from it? And you'll have 1 minute for each candidate to redirect that question first to Karen Keene.
On the South Tulsa Bridge, I feel like it is an important economic development tool for that region. It is also first and foremost about safety and security. And where it goes, I'm not sure how, what entity is going to pick up and actually do the bridge at this point and how we move forward on that. I mean, as a region, if we're going to see state and federal dollars to do that bridge, we're going to have to speak with one voice to accomplish that. But I know right away it's been purchased in one area, another area has been proposed, but I don't know what the existing city commissioners, where they fall on that. There are three of us who always have to make decisions as being on that commission. So at this point, I have an open mind as to how we can move forward on that. I think there are some initiatives out there still pushing forward, and it may be very well go through private entities to get it done.
Well, I support the South Tulsa Coalition that opposed the bridge. I went out to see where it was going to go. The infrastructure simply is not there. It would cause terrible problems to the community. The Supreme Court did rule that the bridge could not be built, but my primary concern with it was that it was a no-bid contract going to private entities that would have 75 years of collecting tolls. That is a backward deal, and it is simply not acceptable. So I stand with the neighbors. And if it comes up again, I will stay with the neighbors. If it has to be done, there needs to be a seat at the table for Tulsa County.
Thank you. Now, a question directed to one of the candidates, which is Karen Keene. She will have 1 minute to respond. There will be a 30-second rebuttal from Sally Bell, and then a 30-second response to that from Karen Keene. Here, here's the question. There seems to be a mounting tension between county and city governments. How do you view that?
I think a lot of that started with the annexation that took place from the city to the county. We were working on bringing the Arabian Horse Association to Tulsa at the time that was taking place, and it placed us, as I was working at the chamber at the time, in a rather awkward position because they were screaming that they might pull out at the time. And the Arabian Horse Association, which incidentally that group is here now, it means $25 to $30 million to this community while they're here. And of course, we would not have that if we had not invested in both Vision 2025 and Fortifix the county.
Perhaps I didn't understand the question, but was it about the city-county relation? Thank you.
There seems to be a mounting tension between city and county. How would
Well, I think that's true because in the city is in chaos. I think there are several things that people in the city are curious about, and I think the city and county work together is better for everybody. But as a county commissioner, my job would be to look out for my job as the county commissioner. When we can cooperate and save money, that would be great. But there are several issues that are going on right now that I certainly do not agree with the city council on.
30 seconds.
I think as a county commissioner, we do have to work with the city, and historically, they have done pretty well. And if cooperative roads projects, Broken Arrow might work with the city of Tulsa as well as with the county to get some of the road work done. So historically, it's been a good working relationship, and I think it can be restored, and as a county commissioner, I will be working on rebuilding that relationship.
Our next question is going to be a question directed to Sally Bell. She'll have 1 minute to respond. Sally, how would you implement over the government.
The first thing I would do is ask for an evening meeting once a month, and I would take it to the district. We were in Sand Springs today, Tate Community Center. That would be an ideal place to take a county commission meeting. As a county commissioner, I could have 4 meetings in the year. And I think most people in those outlying areas do not want to drive downtown. The meetings right now are at 9:30 on Monday morning. Very few people can go. So my suggestion is to take the meetings to the people, make them more open, give them an opportunity to speak. Because I do think people have some issues with the county, and they don't understand county government. So it's our job, I believe, to explain it to them and to help them know where to come when they have a problem. One of the biggest steps would be to open these meetings up and take them to the people, at least once a month.
That's not a better idea, but I think that's not a bad idea, but I would absolutely like to see those meetings on TV. We spoke to that earlier. I think that will open up the county government a great deal to the world so that people can see those. And they wouldn't run exactly at 9:30 in the morning. They would be at a different time slot because they would have to be taken away. But I think that would help open it up. And I have every intention of being out in the county, in District 2, at their Chambers of Commerce meetings, out with the road crews. I plan to be very much in touch with constituents out in the county.
And I also would be out in the county, and I think TDC goes straight. There's nothing like being in a room with your elected officials.
Yeah.
And we need to we all need to help the elected officials speak to the fire. I'm a small-minded firefighter, because if I get off target, I want to hear about it. So you need to be able to see these people face-to-face, eye-to-eye. And that's why I suggest that you take it to the people.
Comment about applause is not appropriate, but I would remind you that just take time away from your candidate when you do that. Don't stop applauding when you applaud. I think if you have a meeting for him, it's a good idea to make sure that whoever is elected is actually the meeting. Question for both of you, and I believe we did start this out the last time, but we can move over to Karen. What do you think the county, Tulsa County, should do with the present ballpark if a new ballpark is built downtown? Keep it or tear it down?
It's more than likely that the existing thriller stadium would be dismantled. We probably sell the bleachers, and then that site would be ripe for redevelopment. And there are lots of ideas out there, but it's a kind of a process that I'd like to see bringing the mind together like we did for Vision 2025. What would be the best possible investment in that corner to make the dollars that we've already invested in Expo Square work more efficiently and perhaps attract another niche market to this region? We captured the equestrian, and we've got a whole lot to it. We need another barn. It could be the size of another barn, but the Expo Square is just an absolute gem. It is an economic engine for the region. If you talk to the hotel restaurant people, they will tell you it puts more beds in their hotel than any other entity in the region. So I'm all about seeing that whatever happens on that corner is the right idea.
Well, that economic engine lost $760,000 in the 2006 or 7th fair, and they lost $500,000 this year. The Arabian Horse Show, while bringing money to the city, is not going to bring money to the county. So I think before any decisions are made about what goes on out there, we've got to take a real hard look at the fairgrounds. And there are questions that need to be answered. And I know the fairgrounds. They were our tenant for 35 years, so I do know the fairgrounds. So I would say that before anything can be discussed about what we're going to do with that property, we've got to find out what's wrong. It's got to be self-sustaining. Until 4th, 6th of county, the fairgrounds never took any tax money. We've got to get it back that way. But
it's important that you understand what an entity like Expo Square does. What it does is bring outside groups in, and when you bring outside tax dollars into your community, everything rises. If we use our tax dollars and we simply recycle those from ourselves, it's a very different dynamic. So it is, these buildings and things that we do at Expo don't always break even. But what they do is bring these roots here so that everybody else rises. That's where the public investment comes in. And it's important to understand that as a county commissioner. Once Vision 2025 and 4 to 6 are completed, the operational budget should work so that it is we're not losing money. There's a huge investment. That's why you're seeing those lopsided numbers.
Excited about seeing river development happen,
And I believe we may, I'm hoping that with the overages, we can use those dollars and then allow private development to come in. It's like putting, you know, the basic infrastructure in, shoreline stabilization, clean up the brownfield, do what we need to do, and then allow the private development to come in and make it absolutely stellar. And I can't wait to see that happen.
A direct question to Sally about the question said, I've heard you say there should be less regulation at the fairgrounds. Are you against regulations? 1 minute.
No, I can say, I can narrow down the fairgrounds. My belief about regulations is that we are burdened with regulations that simply do nothing but cost paperwork. I am not against safety. Of course, we have to be safe. But I will tell you from our amusement park's point of view, my son is trained inspectors. Our park was safe because we kept it safe. Yes, I suppose there needs to be oversight. I am not against regulation if it is correctly done. But to have regulation for regulation's sake, all that does is cause more paperwork. Small businesses don't have people to handle all that paperwork. You discourage small business when you encounter them with that. So I did not ever say that there is. I don't know where that came from.
Well, I think regulations are a good thing. Oversight is a good thing where public safety is concerned. So I think any time you have the public coming in, whether it's an amusement park or, you know, the barns at Expo Square, some degree of oversight is good to make sure the sidewalks are even and that, I mean, that oversight is important.
30 seconds for a response.
Obviously, I want people safe too. Unfortunately, many times these regulations don't really accomplish that. All they do is stifle the hands of business owners. So what I would say is unnecessary regulation is a bad thing for the economy, and it really does not promote public safety if it's unnecessary. It does. And that is my point. Let's get rid of the cumbersome regulations that are shutting businesses down. And it's happening.
Okay. We have a direct question for Karen. If elected, do you plan to retain Terry Simonson, who was hired by Randy Miller? And what is his salary and exact function? 1 minute. Interesting question.
I think that as far as his employment is concerned, there are three commissioners. I cannot stand alone on a decision relevant to Terry Simonson. There are three commissioners, and they will all three have to make a decision on that. It's my understanding he is seeking a different job title with the county, which is very interesting at this juncture. Those are three commissioners. I plan to be part of the team. I don't plan on being some rogue commissioner up there. I will be working with them, and it will be interesting for all of us to see what happens with that position.
Sally, your response to the repeated question. If elected, you plan to pay Terry Simonson, who was hired for Randy Miller, what is his salary and exact function?
I think his salary is about $98,000. I'm not positive. 85. I think that decision is probably going to be made before we are seated. I think there was some talk about that today. So I think probably the city and county commissioners are going to discuss if he still has a job, if he stays as a deputy director or assistant deputy, or whether he goes into some other type. I honestly don't know the answer to that because I just simply do not know what his obligations are, and I have to learn that first.
30 seconds for additional response. Pass. Okay. This is a question for both, 1 minute for each candidate, starting with Karen Keith. Are all construction projects within the county going to be open to any and all contractors?
They certainly should be open to any and all contractors. And I suspect that most of the Vision 2025 projects will be completed by 2012. The volume of money goes out, I think, to 2017. But yes, they should absolutely should be open to all contractors.
1 minute.
back to you?
Yes.
Okay. We have these little blue cards.
We'll come and get them, too.
On you. Be sure to take these questions up. They go to this place right here, back to the table, back there. Our next question is going to be directed to Sally Bell. 1 minute to respond. Do you support the assessment on the interdispersal loop for the ballpark?
I think it is unconstitutional, discriminatory, and it is certainly unfair to him. The Tulsa jail will benefit not one iota from a ballpark, and yet the taxes are going to go up $100,000. That has to come out of the county budget. So I do not support the assessment. They were not even given an opportunity to appeal that. The property owners around there asked for an appeal process. It was turned down, and so now they have to hire a private lawyer. The city has access to all kinds of lawyers, so no, I do not support it. I think if the ballpark wants to move, they can move on private funds.
I know that a lot of people and some property owners downtown are upset about the assessment. As far as the county is concerned, it still has to be determined if the city is actually able to tax the county, because it's like a state entity. We are kind of a subset of the state. So it may not even be feasible, possible, legal to tax the county. That will be determined. And in an earlier debate, Sally talked about seeking litigation to stop it. I think that cooler minds will prevail. I think they'll figure out whether the county actually has to pay that in any way, shape, or form. And it may be that that is actually not the case.
From my understanding, the county certainly is going to be taxed. That was my understanding, not the meeting. So I have heard nothing to the contrary. And if it comes to litigation, then absolutely, the county commissioner, I'm going to be all for that, because I don't want the county to have to pay another assessment. And it's a tax, folks. It's not an assessment. It's a tax. And it's unfair, and it is discriminatory. Some businesses that will benefit not one bit. I know of one business that is a warehouse. His taxes are going to go up to $8,000 a year for 30 years. That is unfair, and it should not happen.
Question for both candidates. Each of you get a piece of the negative 1 minute to respond. We'll start with Karen Keith. Where do you stand on the City Street issue now on the November ballot?
I'm of the belief that we need the streets package to pass. Our roads are in terrible shape. This is an opportunity for us to begin work on the streets that have been in a terrible decline for years. I think it's the first start. It allows taxpayers in 5 years to come back and say, yes, we've done a good job, or no, you haven't, and they can hold everybody accountable. So I am for getting the street package passed, and I look forward to seeing a lot of construction and cones up on streets throughout the city.
I do not support the tax issue, and I've talked with people that I trust. Jim Doolin is one of them who says it's not a good package. I've talked to other people. They asked us to trust the very same people from the Works Department who allow the streets to get the condition they're in. So I would say, first of all, let's find out what really needs to be done, and can we do it without raising taxes? I believe we can. And I believe it comes into King Gabriel's new idea about what we can do with the overages of this year 2025. That has yet to be vetted. It would have to be looked into. But I would say before we start raising any more taxes, let's make sure there's not money available.
Again, this is very important. The streets are in such bad shape because the city did a lot of annexation. They acquired a lot more roads that needed to be fixed, and they never changed the dollars that were invested in those roads. So that's important to understand. And our county assessor is saying that there's $185 million that we could divvy up to these different projects. So the last forecast in March said it was about $87 million, and that did not take into account what we're dealing with this economy. Forecasts now say it's going to be much less than that. So that it is a very flawed assumption that those dollars are going to be there. Sorry about that.
Taxes. I consider
concerned about infrastructure, I'm concerned about public safety, but my primary issue is tax, because I think once you get that situation under control and your economy starts to grow because you become a business-friendly city, then the tax base will go up and will solve a lot of these other problems. As a county commissioner, I think the two primary functions are public safety and infrastructure. And those are the two things that I would work on. But I also believe to get there, we've got to do something about getting government under control and to limiting the power of government and reducing our taxes.
Economic development for this region. I want to see the continued success of from Vision 2025 and Four to Fix. This region is doing so much better because we trusted ourselves, we invested in ourselves, and we are seeing many, many great things happen in this region. So I want to continue to work to build this region and our legislators and everybody else come together and speak with one voice. We can try and continue to bring dollars back here. Many of you may not know we are a donor region. And as we all work together and we prioritize our needs, we speak with one voice, we can bring those dollars home so that Oklahoma City doesn't always get the state funds. We bring some of those dollars back here and have much greater success. So I'll be working on all those initiatives.
Next, a direct question to Sally Bell. I've heard you talk about your plan for economic growth. And actually, it says economic growth happening naturally. Could you explain that? How does economic growth happen without a plan?
Well, we had a plan when our country started, and that plan was that people started business, they grew their businesses, and they, as their businesses grew, taxes will go up. You get tax revenues through business growth. So do I have a plan that says tomorrow we're going to put a business here? No. But the way you do it is you become business friendly. Tulsa County is the highest tax county in the state. That is not business friendly. And so we're not going to get our share of new business. And I want economic growth. I do. But it needs to be done the proper way. And the way this country grew was through small business. Small business accounts for a tremendous number of jobs in this country, and in Oklahoma, and a huge dollar amount. So let's reduce our taxes. Let's make this place somewhere people want to come and raise their families and start their business. The tax base will then raise on its own. It simply will. That's how this country started. That's how we can do it again.
30 seconds to respond.
I'm a huge advocate for small business and very proud of them, but we also need the American Airlines in this world. They make a big difference. But when Tulsa goes out to compete, to try and bring in these larger companies, it goes back to quality of life. And without river development, without our arena, without a new ballpark, it's difficult to lure in some of these larger industries. We've lost some to Oklahoma City and other surrounding cities in the region, because simply because of quality of life issues. And our streets are actually one of those issues at this current time. So I mean, it is important that we nurture our small businesses, but it's also important that we nurture economic development through initiatives like Vision 2025 and 4Fix.
Thank you. A question to both. We will start with Karen D. this time. Would you support or extend Vision 2025, which is about to expire? Would you support to extend Vision 2025, which is about to expire? 1 minute.
The only way I would support extending any tax is if the citizen said, we want something. I don't think it would be criminal if we let one of these lapse at some point. But if there is some need out there and people want Vision 2025 extended, goes to our roads, if that's how we're going to finance part of the roads, and that is in the plan, by the way, then I would support doing that as a taxpayer. But at least for the county right now, the only way I would support any extension of any tax or an additional tax
is if you as citizens said, this is something I want, and let's pull it together in the tax.
Sally Bell, 1 minute. The question is, would you support to extend Mission 2045, which is about to expire?
This is really going to surprise you. No. Mission 2045 before they install the temporary taxes, that's what they need to be, temporary. Now, if they put the initiative on the ballot, that's fine, but they will not have my support. As a county commissioner, I would not support them. I think it's time to cut taxes, not raise them or to continue them at the rate they are. We have got to get rid of some, here again, highest tax county in the state. That's not a good place to be. So, no, I would not support the extension of this issue.
Well, there's never been any specific footprint for the Juvenile Justice Center. There is some that are proposing one is in North Tulsa. At this point, Judge Francine is the lead on that. I absolutely support building a new facility. If you go out there, you will understand the dire need to do a new facility. But a footprint that would not be determined on where that would be, it doesn't need to be near a transportation hub. These are folks who have difficulty getting to the facility, and in its current location, it's a little difficult. It has other issues, for instance, flooding, and it leaks when it rains, and those kinds of things, being overcrowded. But the Juvenile Justice Center, the right place to put it is where people can get to it easily. Now, I do not yet know where that is, so if anybody's got that figured out for me, I would appreciate knowing that, because I will do want to hit the ground running and work on that initiative.
I support juvenile justice. I've been on there, and it is horrible, and they need a new one. My concern is, it seems as if every project that nobody else wants, it gets put in North Tulsa. And I think the people over there are tired of it. Now, this may not be a negative place. I don't think it necessarily has to be. But I would say that you look at the place that is the most conducive, makes the most sense dollar-wise, and is closest to the facilities that it needs. So I understand, though, the North Tulsa people's concern, because they feel like every time something like this goes in, they get it.
Okay. Question for both. And I'm not sure who's supposed to be giving out the vote. Sally. Thank you, all of you. Sally, what do you envision with regard to the fairgrounds? What do you envision in regard to the fairgrounds? What do you see happening there? What should that become?
Well, as I alluded to earlier, I know the fairgrounds. And I think there are a lot of questions that have to be answered. And nothing can be decided right now until we have some accountability out there. And there has not been any, or certainly not enough. So I can't say to you what should go to the fairgrounds until we find out how it's being operated and if there are problems. And I do believe there are problems. I think the new CEO is going to have to be someone different, going in a different direction than what we've had previously, because they're going to have to find a niche. The fairgrounds are about to compete now against the Bank of Oklahoma Center, against the Spirit Center out in Big Sweet, so they've got a lot of competition. So to say what's going to go there, I don't know, but the first problem is, let's find out what's been going on with the fairgrounds for all these years. Let's open the windows and turn on the lights, and then we'll talk about it.
The Spirit Center and the BOK Center are not competition for Expo Square. Those entities are completely different in the types of events that they can attract. So as we move forward with Expo Square, we need to look at what will enhance our investment that we have already made. And that speaks to size of facility, function, and everything else. So I know Sally knows a lot about fairgrounds, but in terms of understanding how it functions,
It's important to understand what it's designed to do, and that's bring these other entities here. We've got to capitalize on what we already have, and then in that corner to redevelop it, come up with some great ideas and enhance the dollars that we have already spent. And this is the proper marketing to make sure that we're filling that space as much as we can, because it's just such a good economic engine right in the heart of our city. So I'm excited to be able to work on that.
Okay, this is a both question. We will start with Karen Keith. Is there going to be any development or downtown development? Is there going to be any river development or downtown development which is affordable for citizens who are in the lower classes? And I'm getting that probably means people who don't have enough money to go out and spend things for the public. We'll start with Karen. 1 minute.
Certainly the Quick Trip investment down 41st is open to everyone. As soon as they complete that project, any and everybody can come and enjoy everything that they are investing down there for us as a community. All of the work that Mr. Kaiser is doing, widening the path, that's all free and open to everyone. You can come downtown anytime you want and enjoy walking through our buildings and appreciating the Art Deco architecture and doing the tunnels and our beautiful, beautiful churches. There are tours that you can take and to appreciate this architecture. What you may not know this week, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, they arrived today. So here we have at the same time the Arabians here just infusing money into our community along with the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And they are here because they appreciate the architecture in our downtown. So that's something that everybody can do. And of course, if we get the ballpark, that's going to be something that hopefully there'll be tickets that people can afford, anybody can afford. And a lot of groups already, buy a bunch of seats so that young people who couldn't otherwise go get an opportunity to go to the Thriller Park. I think Chuck Lamb has always been really good about that. So there are things to do to appreciate your downtown. It doesn't always have to be buying a big expensive ticket to go in the BOK Center.
1 minute,
Sally.
If I understood that question correctly, I think it probably deals with what's going on at the BOK Center and how expensive the tickets are. The fact is, I think some of them are $185, so a lot of people can't afford that. Wandering around downtown right now doesn't sound very attractive to me. I don't know. Hopefully things will spring up down there, but at this point in time, it's not there. Here again, I believe when we put the cart before the horse, when we get buildings that the vast majority of people can't afford to use, we made a mistake. And now it's there. I hope it's successful. There's been a lot of money on it. But the people who live way out aren't going to drive all the way down there and pay $100 for a concert, probably. If they do that, they'll maybe do it once. So as I see it right now, downtown's not all that attractive to just the average person.
Yes.
Okay.
If this wasn't attractive, how in the world they sold out just about every event that has come to the BOK Center? If it isn't attractive and people are freaking out, how in the world they sold it out? Let's think about this. People are coming. They are buying those tickets. And there are ticket prices that go from, there are probably $185 tickets. I haven't bought one of those, but I'm sure you can go there and probably tickets for $30. The service was here, and everybody is going downtown, and we have absolutely no problem. If you're afraid, I would just suggest that you go try it. I think you'll like it.
We have a vote question, and I've noticed this has come up more than once. 1 minute to each candidate, starting with Perry. Eminent domain is a controversy. What are your feelings towards eminent domain? 1 minute.
I think it's a last resort, but sometimes it has to happen. I know there's a little tiny church. It's the Cinder Block building in Sand Springs that's holding up some of the development that's going on. Eminent domain may have to be called in that particular instance. I think, is this my first choice? No. But sometimes it is necessary for the greater good of everyone.
My understanding of eminent domain is that you only use this when it's a matter of public safety or a concern of the citizens. It is not to condemn someone's property so you can claim somebody else's property. If we had been eminent domain out, I can guarantee you it would be very hurtful. So I do not like eminent domain. I think it's used way too much. I think it's a big way to use way too much if we're not careful. So we all need to stay on guard and watch from the rumblings start about where development's going to occur and whether or not somebody's small business is holding up a project.
Given the economic difficult time this country is facing, why do you support government spending more money here in Tulsa? Would you like to repeat that and pray together a little bit more? Given the difficult economic time this country is facing, why do you support government spending more money here in Tulsa?
Now, I'd like to know, why would I support government spending during the party? Am I supporting something that we haven't got voted on as taxpayers? I need some help with that. You voted to do these initiatives, and I may have voted for them myself, but I'm not sure where that question is going. I think I'm not sure where that question is going. If you're speaking specifically of the Rose Package, who wrote that question? Maybe you can clarify. Come on, somebody on that. It's okay.
Joseph Plummer.
Why don't we?
My perspective on the question is, we are facing economic crisis. Should we be spending more money or not?
Well, it's your choice. If you want better roads here, then you have the option to vote to fix your road. That's the only initiative that's up for grabs at this point. So that's absolutely your option.
30 seconds to respond.
Well, and I go back to the thing that I've said, continue to say, we've got to look inward with the way you live with the business. When you have the business in trouble economically, you look internally and you make corrections there. I simply do not think we can tax our people anymore. $60 for gasoline in your car. So people are having trouble clothing their children. And we want to ask more taxes. So no, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. Good economic times. So I think we operate on the slowest tax as possible because it makes good sense.
Important that
we continue with this development. And the Corps of Engineers, they have both feet in this project. If you read the master plan for the river, you will see that the Corps of Engineers has been working on this from day one. This is all about the Corps of Engineers, and it's all about their plans and partnering with this community and with this county to make this river successful. So the plan, it's not, the Corps of Engineers absolutely is in the middle of this. The engineering, they're working on all of that, and as we move forward, the Corps will always be a partner in the end result that comes out of that. So things are moving forward, and I'm excited to see what happens as they hopefully get one of the dams in and then move on. We've got three dams, sand frames, kind of a retrofit on the old Nate Dam, and then of course the one that would go to Jinx. So it's going to improve things dramatically for the region.
Okay, now a direct question for you, Karen. And it's a two-parter. I'll get it all out when we start here. Since you are for the bridge, and we're talking about the bridge in South Tulsa that would go across to the Bixby area, I presume that's what we're talking about. Does your decision have something to do with the land being bought up so the Creek Indians can build a complex? That's part one. Part two, why does the bridge not be put to a vote by the electorate? Two-parter, you have 1 minute to respond.
I have no earthly idea about the Creek Indians or any other Indian nation. That might be an option for getting that done. I don't know. I don't know about that. When I get whoever gets the job as county commissioner can maybe weigh in on that, or it's going to be done by a private entity. I don't know. And I also don't know what location has also in the sites right now. So there may be some neighborhood groups that have a better handle on that. So I'm not sure. That's kind of a follow-up question to something we were talking about earlier. So I think we're having a debate with the crowd.
There's a part two to the question there. Why would the bridge be questioned?
Well, there's a private entity, and my opponent is all about having private entities do all sorts of projects. You know, if a private entity is going to do it, are you guys going to want to tax yourself to do a new bridge?
No.
30 seconds to respond.
The bridge that was proposed was a private entity, but it was not put out to public bid. And that's the problem. A 70-year bridge with no contract that a private company that was very well connected, by the way. So that, I think, is the first problem. With regard to putting it to the vote of the people, I certainly do think that the neighbors who are going to be affected on this and saying what's going on out there, and the bridge just has to be in the right place, and it has to be something that will not ruin the infrastructure that's out there.
30 seconds to respond. No response. Okay. A question for both, and I'm not sure that this is a county question, but I think it's something that is in the news a great deal, and you might want to express your opinions on this. 1 minute, starting with Cherokee. What do you think of the plan to build a homeless shelter at Admiral and Gage?
First of all, this question is not one for county commissioner. It has nothing to do with the county business, and but it is being built in an area that has absolutely no housing in it currently. It backs up to an expressway, and I think that a lot of the fears are unfounded about what the long-term results of that are going to be. I think anytime you add housing, it's a benefit to the community, and again, I think this is one of those issues. It's one of the not in my backyard, and I'm just not sure that all of the neighbors' fears are founded.
Well, I have taken a stand publicly with the White City community. It is not directly affected by the county commission's job, but my reasons for doing that is that it is part of my
district, and I want to lend them my support. I do think it's an inappropriate project in an inappropriate place. But White City is a little jewel in the middle of a rather run-down part of town. Those people love their homes, and they take good care of their homes. They have a right to be heard. They were not heard. That decision was made with no public input. I think that's wrong. I think that's part of what we're talking about when we talk about backdoor deals. That decision was just made and forced on those people. They are good people. I've met with a lot of them are Democrats, and they're probably not going to vote for me, but I still do stand with them. I think they have a right to be concerned. It's the largest facility of its kind. It's four stories. It's not like the others that have been intermingled within the other communities. So I believe that they do have issues that should be addressed, and they were not.
Just say, you do your job by watching the store, and that's what I
I think you said that well. We do, at the fairgrounds, need to take a look at where our revenues are coming in terms of making midway and what's coming in and who's buying the store on those dollars. So those are some areas where we can watch out for. I don't know specifically where any money has been misappropriated, and I don't know about political favors. I think I think we all remember the check in the drawer. None of us will really understand what that was all about. But I think that Sally and I are both committed, as well as the two city commissioners, to making sure it is not business as usual at the fairgrounds. I think we're both committed to that.
Okay. By the way, Sally, I think in all fairness, I did cheat you out of 30 seconds in response to that last question. Shame on you. This is a very interesting question. By the way, I'm getting several questions up here that relate to city-related issues that I am not directing to the candidates. I don't think that's appropriate for me to ask them to make decisions here in the election that they're facing with being county government about issues that are related to the city. And so if you have a question, make sure that you're relating something that involves county government. But this is a very interesting question, and honestly, I need to look and see who had the last vote question. We started with Sally, so we'll start with Karen on this. And this is a very interesting question that I think we'd all like to know how to handle this. Give an example of how you have successfully worked with those with whom you caught a bad change rate that sort of make you proper English. Give an example of how you have successfully work with those with whom you disagree.
Gotcha. I think throughout the Vision 2025 process, we worked with a lot of people who had questions about what that should look like and how it should move forward. And I think we used the art of compromise as we put that package together, and we put something together that passed with great aplomb. And so I think I was intimately involved in that process. Like I said earlier, it took a year and a half, but it was worth all the late work and consensus building that it took to get there.
1 minute. Should I read it again? Give an example of how you successfully work with those with whom you disagree.
Yes, well, in fact, I think I will use that. There were many, many times that we did not agree with what was going on at the fairgrounds, and with the treatment we got and with some of the issues out there. But we did, in fact, try to use intent. And we did, in fact, try to obey the rules. And we did, in fact, do what we were supposed to do. So I guess, for me, that's the first thing that comes to mind. We did try to work with the county under sometimes really difficult situations. And we were there for 56 years, so I guess we worked it out.
This is going to be our last question. It's going to be a vote question.
I think we should always be looking for common ground between the city and the county within the county. So I think if, for instance, in parks, if mowing was something that we could work on to help everybody save money, we need to look for those efficiencies. And I know that they're out there, and I know that some of those could be brought to bear, and I will be all about looking for some of those efficiencies, and then working with the various entities to see that those are actually initiated.
Okay, very good. We bring the question and answer period to a close. I'm going to throw in a couple of commercials here before we ask our candidates to come and to give us their closing statement. Commercial number one. If you think this is a good thing and would like to see it further, I invite you to join me as a member of the League of Women Voters. And I believe you'll find the membership materials on the table outside the room. We invite you to participate and even further. Second commercial, we'll be back here again tomorrow night. As you all know, we face a very important referendum on the ballot. Two issues, labeled Fix Our Streets. We'll be doing the forum here in the same location starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And I think it will be roughly 7:30. There will be people here to discuss the issue, to explain the issue, to respond to your questions about the Fix the Streets issue, which I think we all agree is something that's very important for us to face and to deal with. Lastly, I will remind you that the League's main purpose is to give us education about candidates and issues. You will find on the table outside of the room our voter's guide. It is produced every time there is an election, any kind of election, anywhere in this area. And of course, this general election has many, has lots of people and lots of issues on the ballot. And to make sure that you know about it, polls and go into that voting booth, the material is there and available. If you are a computer literate, you can go to our website, which is
www.lwbtulsa.org, and you can download your very own copy of the voter's guide, share it with friends. So www.lwbtulsa.org.
And if you're old-fashioned like me and have been reading it for, I don't tell you how many years on paper, there are copies of it outside of the church. There's some on the bench there. Should they have a question?
Did they come back to work on getting photos in there on the document of the section?
We did our best. Believe me. We did our best to get photos and responses from all candidates. We were pleased by the responses we did get.
If you work with a candidate and you would like to see this process continue, urge your candidate to respond. Every candidate is contacted and given the opportunity to participate in the Book of Voters Guide, but I've noticed for a long time a lot of candidates don't. If you're involved with a candidate and know someone, say, hey, get involved in that, that Voters Guide so people will know what you stand for and what you want to do in the public office. We're going to give each candidate 3 minutes to respond. You may come back to the podium where each minute is closed. If you'd like to come back to the podium, you can sit there, that's fine. Time for that starting. So you get to do the bench first. You get to start.
Got off track.
not experienced that, and it's as hard as it is to run for office. So your obligation as a citizen is to find, support, and elect good people who believe as you do with regard to your own political philosophy. I believe in limited government. I believe in low taxes. I believe that every single decision that's made has to be made with the taxpayers in mind, because ultimately it is their money. It is not ours. I believe we need people who serve in heart. We've got an alternate around. We've got political people who somehow think that they're in the driver's seat and the rest of you are out there to do their bit. That is not how I would be in the county commission. I will serve you as best as I possibly could. I will listen to you. We might not always agree. My door would be open. And I would do it for my core beliefs. Everything that I do is based on my belief in God. Everything. If I get off course, then I get right back on. So I will say to you, I hope you listen to both of us. I think you have a clear choice. A limited government, low taxation, a more liberal government, and more taxation. I believe those are the two really big issues here tonight. So thank you for coming. I would appreciate your consideration of that, of course, and I promise you, I'll go to work, and I'll do a really good job. Thank you.
busy probably from dawn to midnight every day, and I think we should give them a round of applause.